gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love Wednesdays.
All the crunchy audio goodness today brought to you by GoToMeeting. That's right. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. Oh, God, when he's been gone for a week, it's really bad.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Oh, God. Oh, take me.
Hi. Let's just bask in it for a moment, shall we?
The homecoming. It's magic.
I wish and slash I'm glad people were not privy to our pre-show conversation.
Yeah, that's what we get it out of our systems.
You know what I mean? I think it's healthy.
Yes.
Now.
StephanieMiller.com is the website.
It is.
Moving on.
You can email us all there, as many people did, Progressive Cruise photos featuring Hal Sparks.
That's right. True. Right. Me and a sea of octogenarians.
We actually heard the best story is that then the gay cruise guys dock next to they went Hal Sparks.
The world's largest literally more gay people on one boat,
like over
5,700.
Yeah,
it was 5,600 gay men and 100 crowded lesbians in one corner.
Wow.
57. And we roll into, where were we? St. Thomas.
Yes.
And this boat next door, like, you got to understand, I've been on a boat with, like, people in their hundreds, you know what I mean? And we pull up next to this boat, like, it's kind of like parking next to somebody or pulling up in somebody's traffic with their radio blaring.
Yeah.
This whole boat it's
pulsating.
Normally, all you can hear is just this like
boat of pulsating semen. Just,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Literally.
Semen.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Sure. Men at sea.
Yes. Some of them worked and some of them didn't. But yeah, so we fall off, and I didn't find out until I was already ashore.
Yes.
Like I was, and so that was fun. I did like 300 pictures before.
Yes.
I got actually.
No,
to
but
a place
poor David Bender, who is gay, and you, of course, with your straight self, pulls up, and this entire boat of gay men goes insane.
Right. Just,
Hal Sparks, and I'm like, listen, welcome to my world. Try going out to dinner with him. You don't get any attention from anybody.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That was pretty funny. And we literally, like, everybody was elbowing. And David was saying at one point, if I don't make it back onto the boat, you just run the rest of the cruise.
Have fun.
And I was like, I would gladly do
that. I'm committed to my progressive politics.
We will never see you again. It's like the gayest Gilligan's Island ever.
All right.
Yeah.
Don, Lori, and Andy from Redwood City, California. You remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Steph, my wife Lori, son Andy, and I all had a great time on the progressive cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a picture of Andy with Hal. He was so nice to everyone on the cruise.
Aw. Not everyone, but yeah. It's pretty
Lori. Lori was disappointed because she missed seeing Hal in his Speedo, although she heard reports of sightings. Unfortunately, she had to settle for seeing Mike Malloy in his Speedo instead.
Oh dear.
Okay, first of all, two things.
He is a handsome man, everyone can be Hal Sparks.
He's in great shape. But I would like to say, for the record, and I love Mike, but that wasn't his Speedo.
Oh,
he left
dear.
His trunks in the cabin and decided to go swimming anyways. And
oh, dear.
Those were his underwear. Secondly, I don't have a Speedo. I wear...
Wait a minute. Go back. Mike Malloy was swimming in his underwear on the Progressive...
It doesn't matter. Believe me. Half the people can't see past the end of their nose anyway.
Boxers? Briefs?
No, black briefs. Mm. They passed. I understood how felt like he could get away with
all
it.
Right.
I just got a visual there.
most of the people on that boat can't see past their hand. You know what I mean? Like that. So it's not a big deal. Do I see blurry black crotch in front
of me? I understand. You can still see Mike Malloy's package from quite some distance.
You can, absolutely.
That's what all the other liberal gals have told me.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's funny.
But
you're welcome,
on
Mike.
An odder note, met Kathy, his wife, who I've,
She's great.
Yeah. You know, because I never... I only recently seen a picture of Mike. I listen to him a lot. I'm a fan of what he does, and he and I definitely are on different ends of the spectrum, obviously.
Yes, just a skosh. He's not so much the happy, clappy type.
No, and I genuinely love the guy, but I didn't know what he looked like, and I'd always, in my mind, pictured him wearing a V for Vendetta mask. Like, I never actually knew what his face looked like, if that makes sense. I just picture him literally doing the show in the V for Vendetta for And Kathy, I had no idea. I thought she would look like Amy Goodman, kind of, you know, half gray, you know, kind of NPR.
Yes.
You know, she's totally hot.
Yes, exactly.
And their daughter, Molly, was just beyond adorable. She was just an obliterating ray of cuteness.
Yeah. So it's kind of, well, you know what? There's a lot of solidarity. It's kind of funny. Randy Rhoads' dog has been sick. We're kind of a little tiny community, the progressive, because when people say progressive radio, it's six people.
It totally is.
Literally is.
Absolutely.
It's Bill Press, me, Ed Schultz, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhoads, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
right.
It. That is, yeah.
Alan Combs.
So we're like friends. We're like a little coffee clatch.
Right.
So I texted Randy, oh no, Max and Fred and I are sending love to you and Simon. And, you know,
right.
Yeah. It's just we could do our shows from a Volkswagen all at the same time.
That's true.
Yes.
In defense, though, on the right wing, I think there's three major right wingers, and then there's a plethora of tiny little
really
ones.
Sucky. That's the point. Is you can suck so much and get like 300 stations
totally.
If you're conservative.
But enough about Dennis Miller.
Oh, Chachi.
Yeah. Oh, man. Have you ever heard his... Never mind. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew how that was going to go the first I heard. I knew someone that worked on the show after the first show came out of the studio and goes, we got to do this every day, babe.
Oh, wow. How could somebody who talks that much sucks that bad at talk radio?
And he only has 2 hours a day.
Only?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, we got to do this again tomorrow, babe. Chachi, help me out.
Well, he's one of those people that's used to having every word written out for him in advance.
True.
And you can't do that in talk radio.
How much time can I fill with...
Right, by the award-winning Rick Overton, by the way, who is largely responsible for a lot of the rants that were... Those memorable rants.
That won Emmys,
Yeah, the Emmy-winning ones.
Yeah.
Rick Overton all over him.
I actually bought his book of rants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of news. The budget is out, which is causing people to go insane.
Yes.
Can I just say, President, it's better politics than they are. It's like, you know, he's saying, look, yes, we have to talk about entitlements. We're going to do this together. You know, they're like, you first. No, you first.
Yeah.
Like suddenly they're the polite chipmunks. No, you first.
No,
you know that we'll be helpful like we always are.
Right.
You go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Is that Chip and Dale?
Yes.
Those polite chipmunks?
Yes. I don't know after you, Mr. President.
I beg to differ because this is not anybody's business, but on my 21st birthday, since I don't drink, I went to Disneyland and I was groped by either Chip or Dale. I always forget which one has the red nose. But there's
Dale.
There's a picture of it happening.
Show us on the doll.
There's a picture of it happening.
Really?
Yeah, because somebody snapped a picture right as, and it was a full cheek grab, inside the cheek, you know what I mean? Like a big, and the thing is, male, female, I don't know who was in the suit. I don't know.
That's true.
To this day. So I don't know whether in retrospect I go, hey, or hey.
Does it matter? It's Ferbert has no gender.
No gender, I agree. And I wish that was the way
and
I rolled. But
just so you know,
you
can tell Chip and Dale apart because Chip has the brown nose that looks like a chocolate chip.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome
for that.
I'm going to go home and look at that picture that I have of me with hair down to my butt. Maybe they didn't know if I was a boy or a girl. Maybe that's the thing,
could
too.
That could be.
A big cross.
All right. Lots of other big news on the show. This is what? The Iraq War was based on lies? Guess who could have seen that coming? Curveball? Said he wasn't, shooting straight.
The unreliable drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
But enough about the speaker of the house.
See, I was going to make a joke about myself, but at least no one went to war based on anything I said.
Yeah, exactly.
Any of my drunken ramblings.
I love that Rachel Maddow's show is, I think John Boehner sucks.
I
think he's terrible at this. It's just so funny because it's true.
Oh, and you know that made him cry.
Yeah. Only reason I get to suck at a job like this is because I swept my dance floor.
I didn't work in a tavern when I was a kid. To grow up, that's a lesbian make fun of me on television.
So, yes. Where were we?
All right. I'm sorry.
Curveball. No?
No. I don't know if you heard the sad news. It's kind of ironic timing, isn't it? Now that Hal is back, I can no longer have his child.
That's right. Did you hear about that?
What?
Yeah,
she's barren.
My gyno called me on Valentine's Day to tell me that the blood test looks like...
Changes. She's gone through the change.
Looks like it's...
The change is behind her.
I don't know. So, I think I could...
just in time.
I could Frankenstein.
You think you can get it going?
Absolutely. Yeah.
We could disprove science.
Yes. Schmience.
Just in time, who is this? Terry from Vancouver has sent me a shawl.
Yes.
Yes. And Hal, you were saying it's hard, comedy timing-wise, to get that done that quickly. Because
we made
a joke about shawls and me aging a few weeks ago, and she's like, oh, I got to hurry up. What's the most important thing about comedy again? No, it took months to nip this.
Clicking sound next door for the last 6 weeks.
Clackety, clackety, clackety. It'll stick with funny if I can get it done.
It's a beautiful shawl, though.
It is. Thank you, Terry. That's very, very sweet. Terry writes, shawls, are you kidding me? No, honey, you know I love, and I say this only to a fellow, here, let me put my music in now. To a fellow box wine-sucking elderly shut-in who's wearing reading glasses, whose eggs are dust, who's sweating at night as much as I am, French kisses her dogs, and is losing her hearing. What? If I weren't hetero, I would be so all over you, but alas, honey, I'm sending you a granny lap Afghan that you can use to keep your circulation working and your dog hair on your couch at bay. It may even improve your hearing. Aging sucks, but the alternative is way worse. I may love, but my husband lusts way more. Terry from Vancouver, the official French kisser of cats of the Stephanie Miller Show. Ding.
Who would want to French kiss a cat with that tongue?
Oh, the sandpaper. That. I clearly tried it once.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, so lots to get to. In the meantime, I've mentioned GoToMeeting to you. Don't make me mention it again. Online meetings are a great tool for businesses to work smarter. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting. Who can even keep... He's like a tomcat. Who can keep track of Hal Sparks?
That's right.
Beg your pardon.
How would we ever communicate with him without GoToMeeting? Oh, that ship to shore GoToMeeting was a biatch, but we did it.
And me and my Speedo and Mike Malloy were running around in the background in his underwear.
Yes, I needed to see his desktop on mine. No. Put the camera on Mike Malloy again.
And you fighting off the guys from the Atlanta crew,
man.
Yeah. Like the Beatles in Hard Day's Night.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to distract them.
GoToMeeting, everyone can join a meeting in seconds without technical headaches. It is so easy to set up because not everyone is a techno wizard gizmo guy like Hal Sparks. Yes, I have an orgasmo when I'm here on HalSparks.com. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. I forgot to mention, I get so flustered when Hal's here.
I know, right?
That there's other people in the world.
Whatever.
We have a pee today.
That's right.
A pee coming up on the show.
A what?
Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh.
Coming up next hour. Ari Berman from the Nation.
Yay.
In hour number three. Yay. For all of us. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. John in Madison, Wisconsin, ground zero for the working folk this morning. Hey, yeah. John.
Stephanie.
Yes, sir.
Hey. I'm a part of the Wisconsin Science Professionals Union in Madison, and I'm going down there for the second day to protest.
Yeah, I hear that school's out forever this morning because all the teachers are going to be there and all the kids supporting them.
We closed the Madison school system after our protest yesterday and last night. Yesterday there was a parade of 800 students from Madison East High School that left class and hiked her down to the Capitol. And let me tell you, that's quite a hike.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you guys, John. We're all with you in solidarity today, okay?
I appreciate you putting me on here and
yep.
We need more people here.
We love you, Madison.
We need more people.
All
yesterday
right.
We had an incredible number, but we need more.
Good. Absolutely. Everybody out today. Get everybody out school.
You know,
Governor Wanker.
Walker.
Excuse me?
Governor Walker.
Oh, pardon me, Governor.
You keep
that's
doing
not
that.
What Roger Hedgehog told me.
Cock.
What?
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, pardon me. Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know these people.
Speaker Boner.
Wanker and Hedgehog? I don't.
Governor Walker is the governor of Wisconsin.
Sure.
And Roger Hedgehog
Cock.
Oh, no.
Roger Hedgecock.
Yes. Which one's he?
He was the former mayor of San Diego.
I'm sorry.
He's a right-wing radio host.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. So Wanker is from Wisconsin.
Yes.
Right, okay.
From Boner's party.
Walker. Sorry, Walker. Yes.
Pardon me, Boehner. Excuse
Wanker
me?
Wanker the right-wing radio guy?
No.
No.
Governor Walker is
Hedgecock.
Oh, Hedgecock is the right-wing
Wanker. All right, now, children, there's some important...
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we got
worker right. issues going on in Madison, Wisconsin, and we want you to all get out and support the good folks of the unions in Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, and we apologize for the immature way. That's kind of our special signature style.
That's what
style.
We do.
That's how
immature
we love.
What? I was just trying to get the story straight. I'm not here all the time, so
our apologies to Governor Wanker.
Walker.
And all his little wankers. What?
Walker.
No, the Wanker is on the right-wing radio.
No.
That's Hedgecock.
Yeah, but isn't he a...
Okay, you know, I don't feel for some reason this is going to end well when the headline is Being Sober is Boring, Charlie Sheen.
Oh, man.
Excuse me, Chris, why didn't we get this radio interview? You would think if you're going to have a drunken, rambling radio interview, I would be the place you would go to.
Well,
actor Charlie
maybe
Sheen...
Maybe we're not on his radar.
Barely out of the hospital from his latest, unpleasantness.
Thing.
Says he has no intention of mending his ways. He was on, Dan Patrick's radio show?
Uh-huh.
Who's delightful. I know Dan.
Okay.
He said, I was sober for 5 years a long time ago and just bored out of my tree. Oh, boy.
Wow.
It's inauthentic. It's not who I am. I didn't drink for 12 years, and man, that first one, Dan, wow. In his rambling radio interview, Sheen suggested he should get back to work while he still can. Oh, that's got to inspire confidence in CBS. He said,
and his family's got to love that.
He
Holy
said,
cow.
Check it out. It's like I heal really quickly, but I unravel pretty quickly. So get me right now, guys.
Wow.
Oh,
really?
My God.
He laughed off his problem, saying the good behavior clause in his TV contract was irrelevant. He said, yeah, blah, 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 nitpick. I haven't read it, but I don't think it covers let us totally dominate and interfere with your personal life. Meaning your ability to,
to
do a suitcase full of cocaine with five hookers.
Right.
Yeah.
And his personal life is affecting the lives of the cast and crew of the show that he's on.
Wait, there's more. He said crack cocaine is bad, but not for everybody. School kids, for instance, apparently.
He said those who can handle it socially.
He said, I said stay off the crack, and I think that's pretty good advice unless you can manage it socially.
Sure.
If you can manage it socially, then go for it. But not a lot of people can.
But
you know?
He's proven that he can't manage it socially.
What kind of restaurants does this guy eat in? Who manages crack socially? Excuse me, I have to fire up a pipe and burn this with a butane lighter. So I... sir, this is the no crack section of the restaurant. If you could, do you have a crack section, or can I?
Yeah, where you'd have to be in an alley. What do you mean?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Where is your social life?
Right.
or in a Vegas hotel room
next to a dumpster. I guess it's
right. If you're with Long Tall Sally and Freeway Jenkins and Charlie Sheen all together in an alley behind him going, just some hors d'oeuvre, thanks.
Boy, someone's social life is worse than mine. All right, Aaron and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to tell you, the Senate Finance Committee for the Republicans was holding a hearing yesterday, and they took speakers from 10 a.m. until 3 a.m. when the Republicans decided to walk out and not listen to people speak any longer. I was there till 4 a.m., and I did not get my chance to speak, and there were about 400 people left to speak when the Republicans decided to close the hearing. And there was also a sleep-in last night. I did not attend that, but about 300 people slept in the Capitol Rotunda, and I'm just really excited, and I'm ready to get out there and protest at 11 as well.
Yep, good for you. Yeah, you got to take a stand because this is happening in New Jersey with Governor Christie.
Right.
This is not the only. Go ahead.
They're ducking. This is something they want to. They've wanted to do. Dismantling public services is part of their platform.
Yeah.
This is not an accidental thing. They don't hear these protests.
Yep. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I thought she was a highly evolved creature of pure intellect.
The recent events indicate that she may be a slave to her baser urges.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of hump days with Al Sparks.
It's true.
1-800-STEP-12, the number. Jack in Indianapolis. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hello.
You can't say that on a plane.
Exactly. Hi, Jack.
Well, thank you very much. Not much of a wait.
I'm going to have to give you a pat down.
Hey, I want to say quickly, I watch with great humor. I do believe there's going to be a civil war. A big wedge of this Tea Party and right-wing vitriol is going to splinter. Right now, I track these guys, God, or just, like I say, to humor myself, just get a laugh out of it. But they are livid that Michelle Bachmann has openly supported the extension of the Patriot Act. And it's just coming to their attention now that some of these guys, they're like a lot of these birthers and truthers, they're... The one commonality, of course, is their virulent hatred of Obama, but they're also the Rand Paul types are very anti-interventionalists. They want out of Iraq, Afghanistan.
Right. Yeah, Jack, you only have to look at CPAC this year to see what unbelievably comedic disarray they're in.
Yeah, on the one hand, Ron Paul wins the straw vote poll, and on the other hand, he gets booted from one of the biggest conservative groups because of his anti-war stance. So,
that's interesting. And the other thing about it is these guys, there's a big chunk of them are these so-called constitutionalists, the ones who wear the fine hats, and they are so anti-Patriot Act in terms of it's anti-constitutional. And like I say, the one unifier is their hatred of Obama, but some of these hardcore types are just, I mean, you read the postings, they are the realization that Mabel and Michelle Bachmann and Palin and all of them are just neo, they're just more corporatists that they hate also because they're against, they fear this thing called the NWO.
Right.
And
the New World Order.
You know, there's
if you really want to get a kick out of it, just watch it.
Yeah, Jack, there's a piece in, I think it's Mother Jones magazine, I think Randy was mentioning it yesterday, but about how it really is sort of sad that a lot of these Tea Party that you know, had some legitimate ideas that we could agree with. On the liberal side, they've just totally been hijacked by and become exactly what they were mad about in the first place.
The Ron Paul Revolution was the original Tea Party. That's what the Citizens for Liberty thing was, and they were really trying to be, as much as I disagree with their total dismantling of government.
And it was one
of
them that yelled war criminal at Dick Cheney.
At Dick Cheney, right. And they walked out as a group when Rumsfeld and Cheney were on there, you know. And It's interesting to see that. And by the way, at the same time all this is happening, in a Fox poll, Obama beats the entire field of Republicans for 2012.
Yeah. Well, here's – I love this story.
Splinter much?
Yes. Birthers and teabaggers and other lunatics, oh my. You know, the boner on Meet the Press? Remember he said, it's not my job to tell the American people what to think.
Yeah.
American people have a right to think what they want to think about, you know, because David Gregory said, isn't it your job to, you know, dispel this craziness, you know. About
nonsense, right.
Yeah. I'm guessing this is why. Poll stunner, birthers are half of GOP primary voters. 51% of likely primary voters nationwide think President Obama wasn't born in the United States. 28% think he was born here. 21% aren't sure.
Right.
Among those who don't think he was born in the U.S., Sarah Palin has an 83% favorability rating. Those are her people.
Wow.
She's got the birther crowd.
She's got 84% of 10% of humanity.
I mean, yeah, although this is the other story. Key 2012 early states cool to Palin. Kind of cool to Palin. A new poll of New Hampshire voters, the latest in a string of surveys suggesting if Sarah Palin chooses to run, she will struggle in the crucial early states. The Granite State poll released late yesterday puts her close to the basement, trailing not just Mitt Romney, but even Tim Pawlenty, who is little known so far.
She's just behind Alan Keyes.
She's viewed unfavorably by
and
poll
Ross
50.
Perot.
50% of likely Republican primary voters, compared to 33% who view her favorably. The participants in the 2012 race keeping a close eye on the polls in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, since they play a key role. All of them, Palin's numbers, underwhelming. Yeah. According to these,
PS.
She just but she named a somebody, right, Chris? That looks like it's she's leaning toward running.
She named the chief of staff.
Yes, for Sarah Pack, which I think she should call Stupak.
Meanwhile, they're running Mitt Romney American kind of ads on YouTube as sponsored links that, oddly enough, only come up when you're looking for things like Zeitgeist and Loose Change. And all the like,
oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, literally, that's what they're coming up. Like, I went down a rabbit hole of like, Jay-Z worships the devil. There was a series of videos that think that Jay-Z's a devil worshiper. And then one of the top sponsored links was Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, right? American.
Like this, somehow this links Jay-Z worships the devil, Mitt slash Romney. Mitt Romney would be a good president.
Much more American than Mormon.
Right. Devil worshiper? Why is that one of the hot links on Mitt Romney? Okay, whatever.
oh, boy. All right. The other big story we've been talking about, this awful story about Lara Logan. Is it Laura?
Lara Logan.
Lara Logan. Wow, we. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan recovering in a U.S. hospital from a sexual attack and beating she suffered on reporting. During reporting in Cairo, she was in the city's square Friday after Mubarak stepped down, and her team and her security were surrounded by a dangerous element amidst the celebration. CBS said in a statement, the network described a mob of more than 200 people whipped into a frenzy, separated from her crew in the crush of the violent pack. She suffered what CBS called a brutal and sustained sexual assault and beating.
Oh, my God.
She was saved by a group of women and an estimated 20 Egyptian soldiers.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, you know, was it Rich Galen that was talking to us? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at what happened to Anderson and Cooper, and you go, maybe you got to rethink sending reporters into the middle of this. Are you really getting more of it? Because a lot of them, they had to be in undisclosed locations. Right. They couldn't really see or hear what was going on anyway, and they didn't have anyone with them that spoke Arabic.
Well, there's a reason why in Vietnam and in Korea and a lot of these places, when the reporters were doing things on situations like this, they were on rooftops looking out over it. A lot of that Dan Rather coverage from those days. A lot of it is because you've got to do it from a safe point of view so you can convey the message. But there's so much emotional message they're trying to convey these days. And you have to have the guy right in the center of it. It's like a hurricane. It's like when, you know, occasionally they send these folks out into hurricane situations and people get hit by a flying board. You know, there's just...
Yeah.
Get them out of there. I get that the story is happening, but get them a safe distance away and tell me what's going on.
That's what we were talking about, is questioning the actual news value of having to have them there, you know, when it's a... Anyway, this was, I thought, an interesting... We had talked about this before, that sexual harassment of women is all too common normally on the streets of Cairo, but many women had noted a complete absence of it in the early days of the protest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were saying people were obviously like, what you saw, just very sort of, you know, united and respectful. Yeah.
And passionate about the cause.
Well, yeah. In the final days, though, especially after the battles with pro-Mubarak gangs who attacked the protesters in the square, women noted sexual assault had returned. According to witnesses, on the day Mubarak fell, women reported being groped by the rowdy crowds. I love this. I mean, the people that saved Lara Logan. I love the story. One witness saw a woman slap a man after he touched her. The man was then passed down a line of people who all slapped him and reprimanded him.
Wow.
Like, it's like that scene in Airplane. People just lining up the planks. And, let me talk to him.
Right.
Tank. I got a word to say to you.
Yeah. You should pass around the monkey wrench. You know, remember that the woman had a giant monkey wrench in Airplane?
I mean, that's the way society should work.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It really is. There's a danger level. I appreciate, by the way, Lara Logan as a reporter. It's shocking that she is, and you know, and this gets talked about so much how beautiful she is, and that becomes the big factor in it. But she's an amazingly tough, intelligent reporter. And she was really great at speaking truth to power throughout the Iraq and Afghanistan war.
Yep.
And I personally think that Mubarak's supporters were the cops who took off their uniforms, came back out in the street, and did a lot of this stuff. And that's the prevailing notion. But I think that was one of the things that – one of the messages they got. When you see an American reporter or someone on camera – hit them because we want them to. The world to think that the protesters are out of control.
Hell, you obviously talk about this all the time. It's just all of this new media and whatever.
Right.
But I mean, that's to me the real story. What happened there? They could not obscure the truth. I mean,
right.
It was so. It ended up coming off so ham-handed that it was
so
clear
so
that
obvious.
It was pro-Mubarak thugs that they were paying them. That they were.
They all had their IDs.
Yeah.
They were looting places, and they still had their IDs in case the other cops picked them up.
We need Mubarak for security because, you know, for stability here, because look at these crazy.
Yeah.
It's like,
like, in the 80s, there was a Republican who was talking about how they're going to have to start curtailing rights and all these kind of things, and that rich people and senators and their staff would have a KMA card, a Kiss My
Yes.
Card. And they would carry it around so that they could just get away with whatever. This was the plan. This is a neocon plan from the mid-'80s. And it's exactly what these guys were doing, only it doesn't really work because if somebody beats you up and finds the card on you, you know, it doesn't help you.
Yeah, so far so good for democracy, for Egypt. Mm-hmm. not for the right wing, because so far the president yesterday.
The military council that is in charge has reaffirmed its treaties with countries like Israel and international treaties. It has met with the opposition, and the opposition has felt that it is serious about moving towards fair and free elections.
I don't watch Chris Glenn Beck enough to know, but what happens when the whole caliphate story goes just then? It's like, okay, I'll just move on to something else.
Yeah, that's exactly
never mind
what
that
happens.
Thing I
yes,
that's he completely forgets all about it, and his viewers forget about it too.
You know why? Because his show is an old fashioned radio serial program.
Mm-hmm.
It is tune in tomorrow.
It's the Green Hornet.
Will he fly off the cliff? There is a monster in that cave, and then he just makes it up. And if the story isn't caring, if they don't get the ratings on it, they just drop it midstream. So the next show doesn't relate.
It just seems like it's a different sort of liberal cause that will cause the end of the world. It's like, oh, well, that didn't happen. But
his show would
It's like people explaining why the rapture didn't happen when they said it was going to. It's like, okay, but next time it's yes.
Seriously.
His show would be brilliant and entertaining if it were fiction. However, he's messing with world events here.
Absolutely.
And so it's absolutely horrifying.
It would
people
be funny if it were not so sad. Right.
Yes.
The president on what is happening now in Iran.
We were clear then and we are clear now. Understanding that America cannot ultimately dictate what happens inside of Iran any more than it could inside of Egypt. What we can do is lend moral support to those who are seeking a better life for themselves.
Huh, that's not what John Bolton says. John Bolton, it's always time to bomb Iran.
Yeah, you can't pass up an opportunity to bomb someone when they're not looking. Look, something else is happening in another country. Great time to bomb someone else we have a problem with. Look, there are terrorists in Afghanistan.
There.
Bomb Iraq quickly.
Wait,
look, something's going on in Bahrain.
Kerbal says they have a gun.
Right.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, Hal Sparks is doing the black woman neck dancing thing. Okay, 51 minutes after the hour. You streaming on halsparks.com.
Yes, and that wasn't the black woman neck thing. That was the 80s bass player neck waggle, which is the whole shoulder, upper body thing going. You have to watch the Ustream to know what the heck is going on. It's just there's too much fun going on.
Pardon me.
By the way, I'm currently wearing Mike Malloy's Speedo. So there we go.
All right.
And
Hal
Sparks will be appearing in Phoenix this weekend.
Yeah, at the Wild Horse Pass Casino.
Yes.
Yeah, which Chris says is a lovely place.
It is a lovely place.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Sunday night.
Okay, going to dive into a right-wing world, but I decided that
Yes.
Listen, this is... I don't know. It's a fun stack, but it's just, to me, this guy, problem solver. The headline is, a condom in man's rectum contains 17 pills, cigarette, lip balm, additional unused condom, receipt from CVS Pharmacy, and a paper coupon. That is someone that knows how to pack.
Yeah,
see, I'm a bad packer, so I really honor good packers, because I think that it's a skill. And I'm not good at it.
I
always pack, at the last minute. And
yeah.
He should be
the Jared of public storage.
Yeah. You bring a bathing suit to Minneapolis in January.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly. I get there, and I'm like a bathing exactly, a flipper and a...
What?
And one pump? What the hell was I thinking? Sarasota County. A homeless man went to court and was arrested, but the notable part of the story is what he had hidden in his rectum as he stood before the judge.
What kind of court is this?
The judge sent him to jail where corrections deputies conducting a routine search found part of a condom sticking out of his
area.
Yes, according to
the
sheriff's...
The one thing he's bad at packing.
It's like the entire contents of that, the, what do you call it, the astronaut's trunk. What's her name?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot her name.
Spacey McPeepants.
Yeah. The one who drove.
The diaper astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
These are the fun facts of what
it's like
was...
It's like an Acme satchel.
What's up there? See, that would be a good game show reality. Hey, what's up there?
What's up there?
I could host that.
You could.
And there's other stories about, you know, women that go in the emergency room.
Lisa Nowak was her name.
Yes!
What did Lisa have in her bum?
Wouldn't that be a fun show? It's like a sort of ER meets like some kind of wacky comedy reality show.
I'm going to take a
what's up there?
Light bulb, cigar, and a pack of jelly bellies.
No, I mean, anybody that works in an emergency room can tell you what they find up various orifices.
Oh, absolutely.
Quite entertaining. In this case, according to sheriff's officials, the condom contained 17 round blue pills, one cigarette, 6 matches, 1 flint, 1 empty
suit. A flint? This is like the hilt of Rambo's knife.
Why would he need a flint up there?
I don't know. Why would he need any of this up
there? It's a survival kit.
What?
All right, sorry.
One empty syringe with an eraser over the needle. That was smart.
Smart, yeah.
Again, smart packer.
Do you think there was some trial and error?
One.
Ow. Note to self.
Next.
Eraser.
Pencil eraser.
Right.
One lip balm container. What? Forget
just the container? Just the container? No lip balm or just...
Yes, lip, you know, a container of like chapstick.
Okay.
One additional unused condom. See? He's both safe and a tidy packer.
Well,
doubly safe. A receipt from CVS.
It's the return home to put his dirty laundry in.
A receipt from CVS.
That's his return and carry on.
Right, exactly.
A receipt from CVS Pharmacy. By the way, can I just say... Working at that CVS pharmacy would be the worst job ever. You got to take that return.
Yeah.
Paper or plastic?
No. Sir, where has this been? I'd like to return this.
Yeah.
I'd like to return
to
this syringe.
Our policy.
I want to return this chopstick. It's not the flavor I thought. Yeah. Here it is.
You're right. This tastes all wrong.
This tastes like crap.
Yeah. It's chapstick. It doesn't taste like cherry at all.
That's not the lips you use it on, sir.
Okay.
I'm not done. And a paper coupon. He also kept a coupon.
Wait,
on
so he's frugal?
He's thrifty.
He's both thrifty. He has his receipt and a paper coupon.
I think everything that was stuffed up his bum could be found in the Boy Scout manual. He's thrifty, brave, honest, cheerful.
He's not too terribly clean.
No. That's true. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, not only...
Taking returns at the CVS. That is the job I want. Let me tell you what.
That's impressive.
Also, I like to buy something else and I have a coupon. It's a scratch and sniff. All right.
Got big fans at Whole Foods, though. We're just so happy you're not using plastic bags. Just happy that you're not... Paper or plastic? No.
But latex isn't too terribly biodegradable, is it?
It's reusable, though.
Oh, boy.
For that purpose.
Well, yeah.
All right.
I'm getting a lot of Hal Louise sparks in the chat.
I don't know why I thought I was going to follow that with Right Wing World. Now we're running out of time for that, aren't we?
Somebody said you should have double bagged it. That's what he was doing with the spare. All right.
Can he use his CVS rewards card?
Huh?
Okay, all right, how about a dumb cork stack? Michigan man threatens to blow up apartment with a stove gasoline, discovers the stove is electric. Don't you hate when that happens?
Oh, bless his heart.
Antonio Owens got a big surprise when he found out the kitchen stove was electric and not gas. According to the police detective, Owens and his girlfriend then continued to argue when he stabbed her in the thigh with a screwdriver.
Oh.
Wagner says the victim now wants to drop charges against Owens because,
she loves him.
That guy's sure.
He's a keeper.
That guy's a keeper.
My mom loves him a lot.
Smart, no anger management problems. Okay. All right, then. Let's see. Oh, let's do one more unsolicited testimonial.
Okay.
I shouldn't have. I threw myself off with that story.
Rectum stories always do that.
Something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, I heard you talking about Sherry's Berries last week. Decided to give it a shot. They were delivered on the day they were scheduled. They were absolutely incredible. One problem, they only ship 5 instead of 6.
Oh!
But today I called to let them know. They said since they are 100% committed to total customer satisfaction, they would send another order to make up for it. Voiceover, the sounds of heavenly angels. Oh, all right. He's asking for a sound effect. What a refreshing experience nowadays to deal with a company that stands by their product. Thank you for referring them to me. And yes, I did type in Stephanie. Thanks, Nick, in Maryland. Why? I have some delicious, enormous Sherry's Berries in my refrigerator right now, Hal.
Sounds great. If you'd like to come over. I would. Can I share them?
Yes.
It'd be like the scene from 9 and a half weeks.
I don't know why I'm going back to that. Totally. Going back to the story about the... Okay, never mind. Yes. We don't know how many you can get. Okay, 58 minutes after...
Are they frozen?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The whole clubhouse full of boys is here now. The whole Jim Ward's in a mood this morning. 6 minutes after the hour, it is Hump Days with Hal Sparks. We are video streaming at halsparks.com. And haven't you been told before, Jim Ward does not work without a key light.
I've already moved his camera. Oh, this is the best I can do, and he looks fantastic, for the record.
He's a handsome devil.
He is. Everybody's screaming,
Jim! Jim's here. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Chris, the contest is live.
Yay!
Go to StephanieMiller.com. You can, if you buy a podcast, a Stephcast, for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance, $7.95 a month if you have commitment issues, you get a I will record your answering machine. Your outgoing.
That's awesome.
I may even get Jim Ward to, maybe I will say, you're not here right now. Wait a minute, where's my beep?
Right.
You're not here, I'm not here right now. I'm in a tavern with John Boner. Jim is not actually at the microphone. It's at the top of the hour. Okay.
No, that's not.
All right.
Here,
Anyway,
me solve it. Here, give me
Chris LeBlanc, so tell them the details. You can win a...
I don't have a mic.
Okay, we also are giving away for people that already have the legacy StephCast subscribers, people that already have a StephCast. All right, you can also win. Go to StephanieMiller.com for contest details. All right. I have to read this. This is from my best friend Aisha Tyler. Can I have some reading in the letter from Aisha? Can I just say, if you already have self-esteem problems, it's not good to have people like Hal Sparks and Aisha Tyler be your best friends, because they... They couldn't be more beautiful and charming and successful and smart, and it just, I don't know what's wrong with me. So Aisha is, of course, has, I think, a more glamorous life than you do, although you're sort of a similar, wildly attractive, globe-trotting celebrity.
It's true. I mean, she is beyond sexy and very smart and funny.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's in demand.
Oh, I know. Well, we ask every week, and she can't because she's filming in Toronto.
Doing, like,
and
3 TV shows.
Yes,
and a movie,
right?
Yeah.
Of course. And she's the most beautiful, smartest, funniest person in the world,
and
except for Hal Sparks.
And yes. Energetic.
Yes. I just had to read this letter. Aisha, oh, angels. Please, Steph, know I love and admire you in every way. I'm so grateful you welcome me on your show. I very much miss doing it. Please know I'm dying to do the show again. My schedule has just been murder. All of this leading up to the upshot of the email. I didn't read the whole thing. I leave late Thursday for Europe. Of course she does. And I don't return till the end of March. I'll be completely out of pocket the entire time. I might be able to Skype in Thursday morning if that work. I feel nervous suggesting it, though, as I shoot late into the night on Wednesday and only have Thursday to pack and wrap up my whole life before I fly Thursday evening. Oh, she's also wildly happily married.
Yes.
Yes, very successful marriage.
She likes licking the salt off her cracker. She likes
as she thing. As she has described.
Yes.
I'm sorry to be MIA on you guys. Let me know your thoughts about Thursday, or maybe worst case scenario, I could send a letter to Steph to read on the air or something totally inadequate like that. Love, Aisha. And I just wrote back. I said I'm just going to read this one because this pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you know how everybody has they customize how I don't know what yours says. You know, sent by like some funny little thing.
Yeah.
Sent from outer space or.
Sent from my iPhone.
Even that is the funniest one I've read, of course, from Aisha Tyler, who's the funniest, smartest, most beautiful person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
you probably should not be best friends if you have insecurities of any kind.
Right. Yeah.
Sent from my desktop magic box over invisible airwaves in the sky, carried by gummy bears riding rainbows, holding phasers set on stun. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, Aisha. Thank you. All right, so she'll be on when she's done.
When she's on, right.
You know, shooting movies and TV shows going to Europe and stuff with her.
This portion of the show brought to you by the legal firm of Wanker, Boner, and Cock.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, Governor
Formally,
Wanker.
Yes.
Governor Wanker in Walker?
We've worked this out
Wisconsin.
Before. No. The Wanker's on right-wing radio, right?
That's a hedgehog.
There's like a bunch of them.
Hedgehog.
Cock. Oh, that's
Cock.
Hedgehog.
Hedgehog, Cock, right. Yes.
But isn't he a...
They're both of the same party.
Well, they're all wankers.
Right, that's what I was trying... Okay. It's hard to keep it straight. I don't... Okay, I'm fine.
Okay.
If they're Republicans, one of them
Governor
probably
Wanker.
Isn't
right.
straight. But, you know.
All right.
Governor Wanker.
You know what we need in this first segment is a little more chaos.
Yes.
We need to... Yeah.
Comedy chaos.
Wow.
Okay.
With Keystone Cops.
I'm pretending to not know what's going on. It's part of the... Wow. What? I'm such a convincing actor. So overwhelming. I apologize.
All right. The president yesterday used his first press conference of the year to defend his new budget plan against critics who say it doesn't move quickly enough to cut the federal government's massive deficit and fails to confront the difficult choices needed to reform entitlement programs. He said, you guys are pretty impatient. If something doesn't happen today, then the assumption is it isn't going to happen. My goal here is to actually solve the problem. It's not to get a good headline on the first day. And he made the point that you and I, happy clappy liberals, always make, Hal, and that is that they said every time they're like, that's never going to happen, and then it happens.
And then it happens.
Like, oh, okay.
Eventually. And then they shrug it off and move on. Like, there's no, and there's no, you know what? I was wrong. I didn't think this was going to happen, and it did. And there, that's it. Just... Total.
Yeah, you and I are on Team Oprah. She would like a little respect for the president. She's like, why don't you try it?
Yeah.
You think it's so easy.
But you can disagree with the president and still be respectful.
Absolutely.
Right. But many of our good friends on the right are not. The president yesterday.
First step in this budget is to make sure that we're stabilizing the current situation.
Oh, stabilizing the current situation.
Oh.
Yeah, Tommy.
What situation is that? The fascist overthrow of our constitutional
socialism.
Authority?
Sure.
Currently, the New World Order is taking over, and an asteroid is headed here with Jesus riding on it. That's the current status of things, and the president is trying to get between that and the... This is the CPAC conference. I'm doing quotes from CPAC.
Okay, thanks. All right.
And the president wants to take the canned food out of your bomb shelter.
My hope is that what's different this time is we have an adult conversation where everybody says, here's what's important. And here's how we're going to pay for it.
Yeah, can you call me Muslim?
Yeah.
He said if you're cutting infant formula to poor kids, is that who we are as a people? That's something we're going to have to debate. I'm glad he framed that again, that the budget is a moral issue. And we said this during the Bush years as well. You know, don't be over there screaming about moral. I mean, literally, their first how many bills are about abortion.
Right. None of it has. Jobs are our number one priority. Yeah. The president has been ignoring jobs, even though they've been rising steadily since he came into office. But never mind. He's been ignoring jobs. So our priority is jobs. Here we go. And we're going to cut the corporate tax rate for millionaires and billionaires who move jobs overseas. And we're going to tackle abortion through a bunch of little mini bills that just make it harder. We're going to redefine rape. That's a priority.
Oh, I mean, it is an unprecedented attack
Perhaps
on women.
Perhaps they think
it
rapists
really
are paid for their work. Maybe that's what they're thinking. They're trying to raise the level of rape in the country, or at least the... What kind of benefit package would they have rapists get? I mean, I have no tolerance for that part.
He signaled he was reluctant to put forward a detailed entitlement reform plan that could be pilloried by critics at both ends of the political spectrum. As I said last hour, he's just better at politics than they are. He said if you look at the history of how these deals get done, typically it's not because there's an Obama plan out there. It's because Democrats and Republicans are serious about dealing with these issues in a serious way. This is not a matter of you go first or I go first. Everybody ultimately getting in that boat at the same time so it doesn't tip over. That's what I was saying. It's like suddenly they're the polite chipmunks. They're like, no, you first.
No, after you.
Why, please.
No, after you.
Yeah.
After you.
Please, go ahead.
Please, because we run
We'll be ever so helpful in any of your thoughts on Social Security and Medicare, please.
Yes. That's because basically they don't actually govern. They politic and poorly. But they just, it's all campaigning. So you have to, the other side, and this is where the president, I think, is getting smarter and smarter. I'm not putting forth stuff till I see what you guys are going to put forward.
Yes.
Let's see what your actual plan is this time around. And they don't have much time because March 4th, did you see that Boehner opened up, you know, like free and open amendments or whatever, and he got over 400 amendments, of which they've only gotten through 4 of them.
Yeah.
And it would take, I think Rachel was saying last night, it would take 40 years for them to, at this schedule, to finish one bill. 40 years.
He's going to spend extra time, I think, tonight, Jim, at the tavern crying over the lesbian saying he's bad at his job on television. She did the whole show.
I get it.
Okay.
It's like being pilloried by Justin Bieber.
By the way, speaking of addiction, Hal, you know I hate to do this to you, but there is a request from the chat room. We talked about the Charlie Sheen story earlier.
Yes.
They would like to hear Ruth Gordon on crack, please.
I don't smoke crack. Why would you do that? You're smoking crack. You know what? If I want to smoke crack, I'll lean too close to Ann Ramsey.
That sounds exactly like the Charlie Sheen radio interview.
Yeah, exactly. That's
something about doing crack that makes you sound like...
I don't believe any of that.
Chris Gordon.
Sober not. I'm turning to Bobcat. But it gets more appropriate because that's Charlie Sheen on crack. It's basically like,
thank you very much. I don't know. I think you can handle crack in social circumstances if you're in the right group of people. But I don't believe that there's people out there that can handle crack like I can. I'm a crackitarian.
You know, I hate to make you today's performing poodle, but also when you were not here last week, Prince pushed Christina Aguilera off the stage.
He did?
No.
We didn't push her off.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry. Because she couldn't dance. He brought her on stage to dance with him, and she couldn't dance, and he told her to get off.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wow.
The president on the budget again.
This is not a matter of you go first or I go first. This is a matter of everybody having a serious conversation about where we want to go. And then ultimately getting in that boat at the same time so it doesn't tip over. And I think that can happen.
Kenyan communist Muslim, I want to turn the boat over.
Yeah, right. Well, that's, you literally are negotiating. I mean, and granted, by the way, this is why his poll numbers are so good. This is why he's got more independents leaning his way. It's why he beats everybody even in the Fox poll, is because the perception is that he's reaching across the aisle. He's genuinely trying to at least find a couple of Republicans who aren't insane and work with them. This is from his point of view. On the other hand, I think most of this is word games on his part because I don't think he expects them to help.
And
I
let
think
me just say, it is like picking through a fruitcake trying to find...
Oh, my God. The nut
not nuts and not the fruit. Okay, well, because, is there anything in here I can work with?
Nothing. This is a brick of sweet
pie. Right.
Wait till Boehner sticks his foot in his pie hole.
Again. But he does it all the time. Nobody cares.
If we lose jobs, so be it.
So be it. Right.
Okay. Good.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Today's version of Let Him Eat Cake. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Some people in Madison got some stuff to say about that today. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a whole bunch of stuff in there for job creation. I think some folks noted, for example, our infrastructure proposals.
Yeah, by the way, as Jim pointed out, so the Boehner, you might not want to say that out loud. The whole, during this economy and unemployment, he said, there's public sector jobs in there, and if they go away, so be it.
So be it.
Yeah, and first of all, he got the number completely wrong. It's not 200, it's 46,000 jobs, and those are real jobs with real people and real families.
Yeah.
It amazes me that they can refer to teachers and cops and firemen as those aren't real jobs or real people.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that's
so
why.
So be it. That family can't eat this month. You know, it's like, what?
Yeah, they don't consider federal workers real workers anyways because they're not providing some sort of service or they're not private. Here's the thing. The Republicans want to cash out of America.
They're
like
providing a
hedge fund.
Service if your house is burning down.
Totally. But they, and in all honesty, they think basically the pin is in it and we're done, and they just want to kind of cash out and let their corporate buddies get out of America and move their investments to the Cayman Islands and just sell to us as consumers until we collapse. And this, and by the way, that's how they will treat every country that they go to. There's no safe zone.
Yeah. Well, I think the best point is the president keeps making is you can't do this when the economy is still so fragile. On a collision course over spending, House Republicans advanced a sweeping $61 billion package of budget reductions Tuesday, despite a veto threat and a warning from President Obama against unwise cuts that can endanger the recovery. You know, which you hate to be that cynical to go, that's what they want to do. So in 2012, they can go, look what the president did to the recovery.
Absolutely.
Here's something that seems unwise at best. Things that they are cutting. House Republicans cut funding that protects us from nuclear terrorism. That seems somewhat important.
By the way, not shocking at all when you look at how they handled the START Treaty. You know, a bill that passed in April of last year.
Choosing to significantly cut the National Nuclear Security Administration's non-proliferation programs, the sole purpose of which is to prevent terrorists from getting their hands on loose nuclear weapons and materials. While Republicans have talked about the need to inflict pain in their budget, doing so in a way that increases the risk of the nuclear annihilation of an American city, perhaps not the, I don't know, the wisest cut.
Terrorism is good for business. Ask Michael Chertoff.
Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary.
We cannot grow our way out of these deficits. They will not go away on their own, and they will not be solved by cutting deeply into programs, into investments that are critical to, for future growth and competitiveness.
Yeah, can I just say their priorities are just wrong, 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 wrongy McWrongersons, a bunch of wrongy McWrongersons. It's just, it literally, like we've said over and over, all spending is not the same.
No.
And it's just...
But it's you have to understand, you're talking from the point of view, these people do not want any of... They don't want it to do well. They don't want the country to actually be serviced by the government. They think it's wrong. It's a principled nutcase stand. But they really do believe that they need to dismantle any government service so that people will just stand on their own and that'll be end of it and we'll just pretend our problems will go away. It is so crazy. They act like the rest of the world doesn't exist. They think that if we like opened our trade borders completely, that's not dropping your pants in front of the Chinese or the Saudis.
Yep. Representative Jim Moran, Democrat of Virginia.
When we do our budget analysis, it should be done with a scalpel, like a surgeon would approach it, not with a meat axe.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it's been described as by, you know, a lot of economists. It's just blindly swinging a meat axe just to placate the crazy Tea Party base.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think there is a scalpeling aspect of it. I think they've been planning this kind of dismantling for a very long time. I think they've had their eye on it. They just haven't. They're being a little slapdash with it as they do it. But the truth is they've wanted to get rid of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for example, for a long time. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning of the elimination of the Fairness Doctrine. Yeah. That was going to be next in Reagan's term.
Yeah, and Mike Pence working on a law to make the repealing the Fairness Doctrine illegal so that there can continue to be fairness in broadcasting in that there are 7 billion right-wing stations and 5 liberal stations. That's so everybody can rest easy now. There will continue to be the exact same amount of fairness in broadcasting.
Well, that's, you know, they think we can stop where we were. Basically, once... You know, huge white families with a lot of money use slave labor in this country to get to the 20s and basically stake their claim on all of America. You just leave it the way it is. Now it's fair. Now this is even.
Now
so
we
we'll
must
just
stop
set
now.
Laws that will not allow anybody to work their way up. That's
Mary in Long Island, welcome. Hi, Mayor.
Hi. Welcome to How To. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. I love you, all you guys.
Yes.
Listen, who voted for these guys, okay? The American voter, I'm sorry, has a responsibility here. It, you know, Randy hits on this a lot, and she's right. She asked the calls, did you vote in November? Did you vote Republican?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then
what
shut up.
Right. You know, don't they know these guys? You know, who says it? Was it Thomas Jefferson about the educated voter? It's like a foundation of democracy. Otherwise, you're going to get more. If they do it again next election, because they're dying to get Obama out of there, you know that. The corporatists hate him, of course, because he's really, I don't care what you say, he really isn't one of them. He's playing this strange.
Yep. Listen, all right. Get out and vote. Mm-hmm. She's right. All right, a pee. Next, Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, why can't we?
Stephanie Miller.
Be as lovable as these kids on Glee.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. You know, if you listen to the show, Hal, you know one thing, and that is I love me some Black Eyed Peas so very much. Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas joins us now.
Wow.
And, you know, you'd think he's just a globetrotting superstar, but you're dropping your kids off at school right now?
I actually just dropped off my high school senior, Josh, who's graduating in 3 months.
Wow.
I really enjoy being hands-on and helping out when I'm at home. You know, I'm not afraid to change diapers. My 19-month-old, Jalen. I'm not afraid to take kids to the school. It's just part of who I am as a dad and as a husband. And, you know, Black Eyed Peas doesn't make me the person that I am. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, I know that I have to answer to my kids and answer to my wife. And that's what is more important to me more than anything in this world.
Wow. You know, I have to tell you, I am truly a huge fan of Black Eyed Peas. You were great at the Super Bowl. I want to talk about your new book. It's called Falling Up, My Story. What does that mean, Falling Up?
Falling Up is basically a representation of what has happened to me throughout the journey and the travels of the Black Eyed Peas experience. It's a metaphor. You know, I spiraled out of control for a long time. I kind of fell down hard at one point in my life and in my career, and the only other way to go was to fall up. And also, Falling Up is paying homage to our first album called Behind the Front in 1998, before any success, before any number one hits. The first song off of that album was titled Falling Up. So it's letting all the Black Eyed Peas fans know from that era that we never forget where we come from.
Wow, this is like the anti-Charlie Sheen interview. You have really gotten it together. This book, I it just looks fascinating. You are a Mexican-American with Shoshone blood. Am I saying that correctly? And the book, you know, sort of talks about how you grew up in the barrio. You first fell under the spell of Spanish music with your grandmother.
Yes, my grandmother was the most influential person in my life. She was the one that would sit in her living room, and she would sit in her chair, and she would say, "From Los Angeles, California, give it up for Jimmy Gomez." And I would be performing in her living room, and it would just be me and her, but the joy and the happiness that she would exude on her face would let me know that she was preparing me to perform in front of hundreds and thousands and millions of people in the future.
Yeah, I love the story about you were, it was at a hip-hop club you first saw Will I Am. Who you said was an eccentric-looking black kid rapping like a madman.
Will I Am and Apple Diab were the first two people that I noticed at the club, because they dressed kind of similar to what I was, presenting at that time. And the fact that they were such talented individuals made me really think, like, oh, I want to know who these guys are. And we became good friends. And this book is basically about our friendship, how we evolved, how we started Black Eyed Peas, but it's through my eyes. And also, you know, it has a lot of crazy, crazy stories about being on the road, a lot of
awesome
stories that people would never imagine happened to me as an individual and as being part of this band. And I think that it's the juiciest type of story, because you get a lot of different cool anecdotes that go along with the book.
Taboo, I love how you describe, you say, "We didn't subscribe to lyrics about crack dens and AK-47s. We were promoting more feel-good progressive hip-hop. We were about braggadocious hope, not braggadocious violence." And I have to tell you, I think that's why, everybody remembers the song during the campaign, during the Obama campaign.
Yeah. What inspired Will was the actual speech. And I feel like, we try to inspire people through our music, whether we're talking about having a good time, or we're saying where's the love, or we're asking people to feel good about the music. The fact is that it's very upbeat and kind of uplifting, and you know, some people need that in their life, and we feel like our music is very therapeutic, and that's what this book is about. It's therapeutic for me, and the reason why I wrote it is I had a lot of things that were pent up inside of me, and I wanted to get it out. And I'm not embarrassed to tell people my flaws. I'm not embarrassed to talk about the mistakes that I made, because we all make mistakes as human beings. But, you know, everybody deserves a second chance. It's my second chance to make things right.
Yep. It's I love it. I love your, it's just, it really is feel-good music. Talk about your, the first time you met Fergie, you talk about in the story, Stacey Ferguson.
The first time we met Ferg, she was part of this group called Wild Orchid. It was an all-girl band, and, you know, all-girl group, sorry. She was kind of like having situations where she kind of wanted to go solo. And she started working with Will.i.am as far as production-wise. She was a solo act, and we needed a female singer for the song called Shut Up, which was off of our third album, Elephant. And our friend Dante Santiago was like, yo, why don't you ask Fergie to do it? So we're like, okay. So Fergie came in, did the song, and she really killed it. You know, she did really good on the song. And then after that, we started utilizing her more on more records, to the point where we said, yo, Ferg, why don't you come up and perform with us? So it was kind of a natural transition. We took her under our wing, and she brought so much to the table, and we just, as a group, we really shot up to the top.
It just works. She says of you, I've seen a talented, sensitive, lost young boy become a strong man with integrity and dignity. Falling Up will give you an inside look at the life of this inspiring individual. The book is Falling Up, My Story. You will be at Vroman's here in Pasadena on Sunday for a book signing at 1 p.m., correct?
Hopefully it's not raining like it is raining.
I bet you people show up anyway to see you. All right, Taboo, thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right, talk to you soon. There he goes. It's a P.
Look at that.
What the heck was that all? That was the anti-Charlie Sheen interview.
Uh-huh.
Got it together, dropping the kid off at school.
Right.
Interested in being a good husband, this is sober.
Welcome
the
to the real hip hop lifestyle. I love how you know Beyonce did this thing at one point where she's like, "I like taking my kids to school because I want them to have a normal life." I'm like, "There is nothing normal about being dropped off at school by Beyonce.
It's not
like while she's
just like every kid
in
you
her
know.
Bulletproof Escalade while jamming one of her 9 Grammy-winning albums. You know, you'll feel like just one of the kids."
All right, everybody, what's your favorite Peas song? Mine would come down to I've Got a Feeling, Don't Funk With My Heart, My Humps, or Let's Get It Started. I'm going to go with Let's Get It Started. That's what I'm going to go with.
I would do that because when I hear it, it turns into Somebody Farted.
Well, actually, I think the original title was Let's Get Retarded.
Yes, I was just going to say, going to give you that fun fact.
Mm-hmm. But
the lyrics were later altered.
Right.
Due to concerns over the offensive.
Yes.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
that was when they weren't sober yet. Maybe. Hey, let's call it. No?
Let's Get Retarded is the version that's on my iPod, actually.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
How politically incorrect of you as a progressive.
I'm sorry. I got it when it first came out.
Can't you get fired for that?
You're fired.
From a progressive radio show?
Bob Dylan had the same problem when he recorded.
Everybody must get retarded.
Mine was, we literally just sing, Somebody farted. Somebody farted in here. Somebody farted
in here.
Somebody farted. And that's it. I mean, it's so stupid. But I do it so.
What are you, 8?
Oh, yes. Look who's talking. You have the longest fart sound effect.
Look who's talking, too.
Listen, it's still going.
You know what the biggest disappointment of Hal Sparks' life is when I burp really, really a great one and I'm not on air.
Right.
This morning I was getting my headphones. He's like, oh, save that.
I thought it was an aftershock from the 92 quake.
No.
And it's 94, but
yeah, whatever.
exactly.
Who cares?
I was gonna say, what? That is an aftershock. And
yeah.
All right.
It was one in 92, I'm sure.
All right.
I was young, who cares? And the point being is that it was amazing.
Representative Chris Van Hollen on the budget.
Compromise is not a dirty word. Getting things done requires give and take. We should begin that conversation now.
By the way, Steny Hoyer said the blame will fall on Republicans, obviously.
Yeah.
If the government shut down, it happens. He said if the government shut down, it will be the Republicans' responsibility.
Yep.
And I'm just saying, the amount of crazies they got, you never know. You never know.
P.S. Responsibility? That's a word that belongs nowhere near Republicans at this point. I mean, honestly, Bush years alone have eradicated that from the entire lexicon and set aside the sort of tea-partification of
Tea-partification, good word.
Of thanks. Of the party it currently. It's
the teabaggery, prefer to call it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Mixed with the weepy gibberish that's coming out of their leader.
Don't look at me! I'm just a speaker of the house. I had nothing to do with it.
Don't make fun of him. He grew up in a tavern.
Besides, I was in a tavern.
Wait a minute. Okay, A, it was a bar. The reason they don't say bar is because tavern tests better. Yeah. It's not like this Oliver Swift picture comes to mind when you say tavern. Bar sounds like, I think he was just there. I think that's where you like to hang out. Because he looks like somebody, well, he is somebody, who likes to hang out in bars.
Yeah.
And they'll go, well, that wasn't a job. You just drank for free.
And Frank Luntz told him, say tavern.
Say tavern.
Sounds better. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds quaint.
Yeah. Okay. Your dad made you occasionally sweep up the bar while he put you through school.
It's awful. He had to have a job.
My dad made me. All my friends.
Sometimes
got to do
you
want to
go where everybody knows
your name. I have no dividend income at all. I ain't got a paycheck.
Senator Kent Conrad on the budget.
You can't solve this problem by looking at just 12% of the budget. I hope my colleagues are listening. We cannot afford to wait until markets collapse.
All right. Is it me or is the show veering wildly today? It's like just trying to keep a crazy train on the tracks.
Sorry. There's a lot going on. I mean,
I know.
Look,
serious budget
with
stuff. Exactly.
And you had a black eyed pea on?
I just had a pea. All right, 45. This show is off the rails today. Just like trying to keep control in the Animal House. 45 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Hal continues on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Let's do it. 50 minutes after the hour.
Yeah.
We just talked to Taboo of the Black Eyed Peas, who it was the anti-Charlie Sheen interview, by the way.
Really?
This just in, the guy... Is he in this building?
No.
Oh. No. Charlie Sheen just did another drunken, rambling radio interview like 15 minutes ago. We're going to try to pull some audio.
And he was giving advice to Lindsay
Lohan.
He
had some advice for Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I've seen The Blind lead The Blind, and it's actually a lot worse. He's a lot worse. Like, I've seen blind people actually help other blind people get where they're going, and they're perfectly fine.
Yeah, it was like when Keith Richards says, Amy Winehouse really needs to get it together.
The blind drunk leading the blind drunk, says Albatross in the chat room.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world in the meantime, see what's doing, shall we? Yeah. Oh, heavens. Donald Rumsfeld came on. Did he get booed on Fox and Friends? No, probably not.
Goodness gracious.
That's CPAC.
Crackers.
Let's talk about the war on terror. We can call it that. This administration didn't want to call it that. Do you think it's counterproductive not to identify Muslim extremists as Muslim extremists?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you're not willing to identify the enemy, I think you're unlikely to prevail. And what we're dealing with in the world are radical Islamists, and they exist. They're determined. They're raising money. They're recruiting people. Right. They're perfectly willing to kill innocent men, women, and children.
And you saw this because you served for Ronald Reagan in Beirut.
And many of them are CIA assets.
Yeah.
Or MI5.
By the way, did Fox bring up the story about Curveball with any of the big breaking news stories?
Funny that.
Yeah, Curveball. I know this comes as a shock to you, Jim, breaking news to many people that apparently those were lies that triggered
the...
A
guy named Curveball was unreliable.
Who could have seen that coming?
Secondly,
the defector who convinced the White House that Iraq had secret biological weapons has admitted for the first time that he lied about his story, then watched in shock as it was used to justify the war. That's what I said. It would be like it would be like I made some joke and we bombed somebody. I was just kidding. I'm an unreliable drunk, for God's sakes.
Right.
Call me Screwball. That's my code name in radio.
They call me Highball.
Call me Highball. What? Why would you listen to me?
Well, the question is for Donald Rumsfeld, was the fact that Curveball was lying, which was a fact, was it a known known? An unknown unknown, an unknown known, or a known unknown?
It was a known gnome.
He was codenamed Curveball by German and American intelligence officials. officials who dealt with his claim. He has told The Guardian he fabricated tales of mobile bioweapons trucks and clandestine factories in an attempt to bring down Saddam Hussein's regime, from which he had fled in 1995.
We bombed Iraq on the advice of the Travelocity gnome. He was a gnome.
Flights were cheap, and we wanted to take advantage of it. I was looking for ways to save money.
All right. Jim Ward with the goal. Gold. Golly, 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 golly. All right. Glenn Beck on the radio.
Biden is a clown.
I agree, but
Beck is calling someone else a clown.
Yeah. The vice president is a clown. Mm. This one in particular, a clown. You don't send him, you don't send a boy out to do a man's job.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Wow. He's, first of all, calling someone else a clown. And then calling him a boy. Nice. Wow. Okay, Rush Limbaugh on oil.
Oil is not the energy source of the past. It is the energy source of the present. It is the energy source of the future. Mm. It is not evil. It is not deadly. It's not, not by its very existence a poison. This is just irrational to be attacking something. It's no different a commodity than water.
Great.
Okay,
so
drink
some
oil.
Right, totally.
Yeah, have a big glass of crude.
It's not toxic. Then let's say that's your big radio stunt next week.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, you've drank everything else in the world. Why not oil?
Yes, I think the point is it's not the substance that's evil. It's killing a bunch of people unnecessarily to get to the substance.
Well, the other thing, too, is...
Based on the claims of an unreliable drunk.
Oil is the fuel of the past. Shell oil, this week... WikiLeaks, one of the documents from Shell Oil says that we have hit peak oil. It's over. And the Saudis...
No, it's the substance of the future.
No, it's not. Rush Surrogate, who has a nicer voice. in all honesty, we're done with oil. One of the reasons why a lot of the Republicans have not balked at a lot of the president's future plans to, the loan guarantees and stuff, they complained about everything else because they've seen the same paperwork. And they know we're done with oil, kids.
They know once we get through the thimble full of oil from the Arctic Wildlife Refuge.
Exactly. The 6 months
now what?
That's in Anwar.
Now what's your plan, Skippy?
Yeah, we destroy Alaska for 6 months of a dead technology.
Rick Overton says, water comes from heaven, oil comes from hell.
Yes.
And oil is used in making pharmaceuticals and all kinds of things.
Well, there's a guy who's making...
That's one of my favorite routines of his. He talks about the people in heaven that have been assassinated. And what did you do? Oh, I invented a car that runs on water.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Okay. Michelle Bachman on the Laura Ingraham's show.
I've given birth to 5 babies, and I breastfed every single one of these babies. But to think that government has to go out and buy my breast pump for my babies, you want to talk about the nanny state? I think you just got new definition of the nanny.
I mean, it's literally the definition. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's great. This was a swipe at the First Lady.
Yeah.
She ripped Michelle Obama, saying she might run one day for office, which she's shown no indication she would ever be interested in that, accusing her of trying to implement a nanny state based on her push to get mothers to breastfeed their babies in order to help combat childhood obesity.
Yeah.
Again, just a suggestion.
Yeah.
She's literally holding a gun to my head.
Spokesman said breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is
holding a breast to my head. Wait a minute.
Breastfeeding is a very personal choice for every woman, said Michelle Obama's spokesman. We are trying to make it easier for those who choose to do it.
And it's still a choice.
Yeah. It's amazing
to
me.
You morons.
Yeah. Again, when you see the entire world through the prism of a march of some sort of abstract socialism in your head, everything has to dovetail through that bottleneck in your brain pan.
Well, that's the authoritarian personality.
Yeah.
They only believe in force.
Right. So they can't imagine anybody else operates in any other way.
Right.
So a suggestion is an order from God, and if you disobey, you're going to
Hitler.
Yeah.
Steve Ducey.
Oh,
some of the other stuff Paul Ryan talked to us about, he said the government shutdown would be on the table. You know, that's not an option, but it's still there. They'd like to bring the spending down to 2008 levels. And, he's a straight shooter.
Is that
counting
the wars?
Republicans are going to have to do what the president refuses to do.
2008 levels did not include the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right.
That's why it went up, because
I know.
So it's, tired of explaining this to yeah. Steve know, Doofus.
Paul Ryan's a straight shooter. Yes, sirree.
He totally is.
He's going to shoot a hole right through the debt ceiling.
Right, yeah. Which, okay. By the way, is currently using the poor as a human shield.
Uh-huh.
Dick Morris, prostitute toe sucker.
We're going to show the country what a liberal big spender is and stop him from doing what Clinton did, move to the center.
Dick. This is going to bankrupt the country.
Oh. Yes.
I think it's another 4 years.
Yes.
The damage is, I don't know. Where
literally, it would be over.
Literally. Literally over. It would be over. It's like I literally have toenails on my throat. That's why I'm hooker. I just can't get them out. I don't know.
We don't mean to be rude. We just think he sounds like he does have a prostitute toenail still lodged in his throat.
Yes.
We think that's why he sounds like that.
So it's a male prostitute.
I just want to get it out.
Well, it would be a...
Hey.
Logically, it would
be why. Ari Berman from The Nation next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller's show. Welcome to it tomorrow. Another big show. Carl Frisch and Senator Bernie Sanders on the big show tomorrow. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We are video streaming on HalSparks.com.
It's true.
Bees as it is hump days with Hal Sparks. Mm-hmm. We are joined now by one of our very personal favorites, Ari Berman from The Nation. He is an investigative journalist at The Nation Institute as well as a writer for The Nation magazine. Good morning, Ari.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks for being had in the midst of this budget frenzy, for God's sake. Sorry.
I've been had.
So, I mean, as usual, the budget has caused hysteria on both the left and the right. Give me your, you know, your quick take on it.
Which is funny because it's actually not something to get that excited about.
Right.
In fact, it's kind of a boring, bland document at the end of the day. I mean, he didn't go as far in terms of the deficit reduction cuts, Erskine Bowles, Alan Simpson, Paul Ryan route, as a lot of the deficit hawks wanted. Right. He also, though, did a fair amount of cuts that liberals don't like, that seems rather insensitive, cutting money, as I'm sure you guys have mentioned before, for, you know, low-income heating assistance and community block grants and things like that that are, you know, core liberal priorities that he's slashing, while really doing nothing about defense spending and some of these other areas that people wanted to see much larger reductions in. And he said at his conference yesterday that he clearly wanted to take what he said a scalpel instead of a machete. So really, the president hasn't angered, well, he's managed to anger both sides without really doing a whole lot of
yay for return. Compromise.
But Ari, it's a typical compromise that no one can get that excited about. But again, it's hard to know what will actually come of this because, you know, his budget's not going to become law. It's just a starting point for these negotiations.
Yeah, and Ari, let's talk about the politics of it because that's always part of it.
Yeah.
You know, Hal was saying earlier, I mean, you know, look, there is a political reality to getting the independence back, and increasingly, you know, this budget shows once again that he's willing to reach out, that he's willing to, you know, and that's obviously why he put the tax breaks for the rich back on the table, going, okay, you want to have a serious discussion about the deficit? I'm willing to do this and this, you know, but that's why this is going to be so critical.
I can't help thinking, though, that both parties are misreading the mood of the electorate right now. Clearly, the administration believes that they possess polling that shows that soccer moms in Cincinnati who are moderate independents or Republicans are really angry about spending, and thus they have to put these cuts on the table to win them back. I think that the 2010 election was basically motivated by the public's unhappiness about unemployment, right?
Yep.
And if that unemployment number stays up where it is at 9%, then the party in power, the parties in power, as it were now, are going to get punished for it. And the chief among them, once again, is going to be the president and his party. So I'm a little perturbed, quite frankly, that really neither party is laying out a plan to deal with unemployment. I understand the deficit is a long-term problem for our country.
Although,
is it the most pressing short-term problem right now, though, Stephanie? I'm not sure it really is.
Well, although, you know, and you write about this, or you make a good point. You said the media, which have lately become major cheerleaders for fiscal austerity, aren't helping much either. And you're right. If you go in the polls, that the deficit, people don't really give a rat's ass compared to unemployment. You're absolutely right.
There is a huge disconnect between the Washington establishment and the pundit class and the public on this. All the media wants to talk about is cuts, cuts, cuts. All the politicians want to talk about is cuts, cuts, cuts. The public wants to talk about jobs.
Well,
that has been overwhelmingly their number one priority,
right, but
especially when ranked to the deficit.
Ari, that's my point, though. Isn't that where the president is being smart politically? Because, you know, believe me, the people in Madison, Wisconsin this morning understand what the Republicans are up to in terms of jobs. When John Boehner goes out and says something like this, give me Boehner yesterday on what is he called? It's, yeah, cut nine. There we go. John Boehner.
Since President Obama has taken office, the federal government has added 200,000 new federal jobs.
46,000.
If some of those jobs are lost in this, so be it. We're broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, we're
I mean, that was, I think, a rather stupid and an insensitive thing to say. But nonetheless, I mean, the president is not really talking about jobs, though, either. I mean, it was amazing to me at this news conference, way, way, way down buried in his press conference, he said, well, our budget does have money allocated for creating jobs with infrastructure spending and other stuff. And I'm saying, why aren't you highlighting that then?
Mm-hmm.
Why
isn't
that what you're leading with? And then talk about the cuts. All he's talking about is the cuts, and it's the whole jobs portions getting totally lost.
Well, in some ways, you know, the cuts part is what the press is running with. This is the favorite talking point regardless. And it seems to be, when you talk about things like infrastructure, that when he does start touting those things rather largely, the Republicans come at it and start hacking away at it because they don't want that kind of a victory on the books. A lot of the infrastructure spending that has gotten through has only gotten through because they didn't tout it.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right. I mean, I hope that he can sneak it in through the back door.
It's what a lot of this is. It's what has actually happened a lot with a lot of that.
But I do worry that the public messaging on this is getting lost.
Right.
And basically, the public is seeing neither parties talk about the issue of jobs.
Yeah.
And that I think that really is going to hurt Democrats in particular long term, because, I mean, they still have the Senate and the presidency. They're still viewed as more in control of Washington, rightly so, than the Republicans are.
Representative Paul Ryan, take a listen, the Republican of Wisconsin.
He punted. Instead of confronting our debt head on, the president has presented us with a budget that spends too much, borrows too much, and taxes too much. And that costs jobs and opportunities.
Which, again, so they talk about jobs, but they don't explain how that costs jobs. I mean, the president has quantitatively, you know, as you say, already talked about, you know, whether it's high-speed rail. That's jobs. You know, there are, I know, I understand what you're saying, that should be highlighted more. But, you know, it seems to me the Republicans just keep throwing that out with no explanation of how is that costing jobs.
Well, and Mitch, this is funny. I heard Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor saying, Obama's budget talks about trains and windmills. And I'm like, when did either of those things become a bad thing?
Right.
But I guess it's just, you know, European socialist utopia that we're clearly
seeing. You know,
you're tilting at socialist windmills.
The ironic part, I don't know if, Ari, if you've seen this, but they're finally making Atlas Shrugged into a four-part miniseries, and the ad is running on it. The ad is entirely about a woman who is trying to run a train company, and there are politicians in her way who don't think it's necessary and want to curtail
her.
But back to
Paul Ryan for a second. I mean, he is a true political extremist if you look at what he's doing. My worry is that, though, in the negotiations with the Republicans, that Obama's going to end up legitimizing Paul Ryan and saying, oh, he's about big ideas and I'm about big ideas, and we're going to strike some sort of grand compromise. So my biggest worry right now is that Obama and Paul Ryan will be locked in a room together to hammer out some sort of deal. I think that's the worst possible outcome we could have right now.
You quote Robert Rice as saying, you know, in the absence of an alternative narrative, the Republican story is the only one the public hears. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're right. I mean, there's a couple of levels here of grabbing the politics of this as well as the actual budget.
Well, and the administration is trying to do this two-part dance where they say, okay, we're about cuts. We're establishing our credibility that we will cut, but we're not going as far as the other side is going.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the political necessity of trying to do that, but my worry is, A, the message of what they actually stand for is getting lost, and the public's not going to pick up on the subtlety of that. And basically, Obama's playing along with the Republican frame of big government's the problem, federal employees are the problem, too much regulation is the problem, too high taxes are the problem. And that is the playing field that Republicans play on. And Obama needs to figure out how to get things back on his playing field, where he starts talking about jobs and the need for a fair economy, and how basically the whole deficit is the fault of George W. Bush.
Yeah, and also, the Republicans just not afraid to lie. I mean, John Boehner opens with a lie. It's not 200,000 jobs. It was 46,000. So he's not afraid to even open with something that's patently untrue in the first place.
What I don't understand. Obama said in his press conference yesterday, he said the current deficit is, quote, a series of decisions over the past decade. That's why it is. What he didn't say is it's George W. Bush's fault. Yeah. We had a record surplus. We had giant tax cuts we couldn't afford. We had a war in Iraq we didn't need to do. We had a huge expansion of Medicare designed to benefit the insurance industry. We had an economic crisis spurred on by reckless speculation and no regulation.
Right.
All Republican stuff.
And are you hit the crux of this week in what you wrote? You said if Obama ends up once again extending the Bush tax cuts in 2012, the savings he envisions in the current budget will be completely nullified. I mean, and that's what, you know, I've been saying is, and I think that's why he's trying to make the case again, that, you know, you cannot address this deficit in a meaningful way unless you're going to, you know, make the rich pay their fair share.
I hope you're right. I mean, I thought that case was pretty strong in December when Democrats decided to punt on this issue. It'll be interesting to see in the midst of a reelection campaign whether they're willing to go around the country and argue about the need for higher taxes. I do hope they're brave enough to say that, listen, if you believe we have a major problem in deficit, which clearly Democrats and Republicans in the political class believe, then you have no choice but to raise taxes. And that's where the Republicans are just fundamentally not serious when it comes to tackling this problem.
But Ari, when you go down, when you look at the polling, Americans think rich people should pay their taxes. That's not a politically difficult thing, is it?
It would seemingly not be. But at the same time, Democrats have an incredible amount of insecurity when it comes to taxes. Issues going back a very, very, very long time, and especially in the midst of a recession, they're just very unwilling to raise taxes on anybody, even if the public supports it. I mean, the public was with them in December, and they were really unwilling to raise this whole debate. Really, Obama was really sort of unwilling to talk about it until he struck this negotiation. So I'm just not sure of what the White House posture will be going forward over the next year or two on this issue as it relates to the deficit.
Ari, it is always a pleasure. TheNation.com, you can read Ari's Ari's stuff, and we will check back in with you. Thanks as always, my friend.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Ari Berman. What? You know, kids, by the way, could you take out your organ for me, Chris? It is raining here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Please pray that Mama's new deck is holding, and it is not currently raining in my office. As it was during the last rainstorm. However,
you don't have to worry about that.
I don't, because I have Carbonite.
See?
Even if it's raining on my computer right now.
I was trying to help.
Thank you. Thanks for the assist. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Now auto-tuned for your pleasure.
23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. To join the party here on Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Talking about the budget battle with Ari Berman of The Nation just a moment ago, Kevin McCarthy, Republican of California.
We're not waiting for the next year to help change the direction. We're doing it now. We'll be on the floor cutting more than $100 billion.
You know, no, Ari brings up a good point. It just, that's what irritates you, is the media gets this storyline, and there is, if you ever needed evidence, there's no such thing as a liberal media. It's that. It's like, cutting, we've got to cut. It's just a Republican storyline.
We've got spending to create jobs.
How?
How is that going to create jobs?
If you look at America like a house that you have to live in and you're dealing with this, the Republicans want to cut spending in the regard that, like, well, we don't need waste processing, so we'll just clog up all the toilets and just hold our breath, but we'll buy all the, like, you know, high rich foods we want to eat. We'll eat a bunch of garbage and Cheetos and no running
water.
Sorry,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but listen, not that you're not a huge progressive name, but a much bigger progressive name is on the phone validating my claims of his enormous package as evidenced.
What?
In his briefs on the
is
Progressive
Mike
Cruise.
With us?
Mike Malloy's on the phone.
Oh,
hi,
my God. Yay.
Hello, handsome.
Hey.
Hello, your enormousness.
Hey, listen, I'm sitting here at home in Atlanta in the foothills of North Georgia Mountains doing my show prep, and somebody sends me emails to say, Hal Sparks says you're running around your underwear on that cruise ship.
Yes, yes.
And all I want to do is call in and say, look, I had a stress fracture with my Speedo bathing suit.
Yes.
And I wanted to go swimming, so what are you going to do?
That's
I put
true.
On something that looked like a bathing stress fracture. And
stress fracture, absolutely. We get what that means.
I put on something that looked like a Speedo bathing suit. And of 2,600 people on that boat, only Hal would see the word jockey.
I'll have you know.
I just said what all the liberal girls have told me, Mike, and that is that, you know, you could probably see your package from quite some distance.
That's where the stress fracture came from.
From what I'm told about Mike Malloy.
But you know the thing that's really interesting about this, the word jockey is written in 8-point script. I mean, you would have to be, dare I say it, on your knees.
Ah! I beg your pardon, Mike Malloy, because your wife actually told me that you were in your underwear. You were not present at the time when I got the whole story.
When I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malloy.
Yes.
Listen, I would have braved boat sickness to see you in your underwear in
true.
The pool, Mike Malloy.
I think that, the big gay cruise.
You couldn't have told the difference between a good Speedo and a good pair of jockey briefs. I mean, you can't.
Especially if you're 85 and blind.
All right. No, you know, no extra thanks is necessary. As you know, I extol the your enormous manhood almost all the time on my show. So this was just another day on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God. Well, I just had to jump in. Let me jump right back out. You just have fun now, but please try to keep it clean.
You are a devastatingly handsome man.
You have children listening to your program.
Penetrating blue eyes and, you know.
It's
and
true.
By the way, Hal, when my daughter Molly grows up, she definitely wants to marry you. Of course, she'll be 80 by then. It really doesn't matter. Look at me and Kathy. Right?
I know, right? It seemed to work. And technically speaking, by the way, I having seen you in your underwear, I think it was you that the Gabe Cruz was parking next to and not me.
Yeah, there you go.
They were very happy to see you.
All right, guys, have fun. I love you both.
Thank you too, Mike.
I love you, Mike Malloy.
Bye.
There we go.
Bye.
Oh boy!
He's up doing show prep. His show is on.
So I was explaining earlier. We're a little tiny group. Progressive Radio, six of us. That's it.
Mike is always doing show prep. That's why he knows
his whole life is show prep.
Exactly.
That's a little fun fact, by the way, about Progressive. We all do our radio show from the same little love bug. We do it. We have a little book wagon. We all do our show from. Oh, you have Charlie Sheen audio, really?
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
He did it again earlier this morning. He was on the Dan Patrick radio show again.
Okay. I dare you to get Lindsay on the show. You get Lindsay on the show, I'll call in because I got some advice for her. Just know, check this, Dan. I got some things I'd recommend she consider because I don't tell anybody what to do.
So what's your one piece of advice if I have Lindsay Lohan on?
Work on your impulse control. Try to think things through a little bit before you do them. Now, check it. I was not there in the store. The necklace, the thing, some bracelet. Who cares?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So now he's like, it's like theft is okay. And crack, if you can handle it socially,
right.
is what he said.
So it's good for impulse control.
Yeah,
crack.
That's what he said.
Crack is the best thing, as we all know, for impulse control.
Yeah, because, you know. Because if you can handle it, you wouldn't, you know, end up in a hotel room with a suitcase full of blow and a couple of hookers.
Well, that is handling it.
That is handling it.
That's
that was
socially.
Today's Crazy Rambling Radio interview. D-Listed was writing about yesterday's. They said, Charlie, on how he showed up on the set of 2 1/2 Men, but they told him to take his crack-infused hernia home. They said, you get ready and we'll get ready. And I got ready and went back and nobody's there. I don't know what to tell you. I'm here and I'm ready. They're not. Bring it, you know?
Huh?
Yeah, that's a sentence.
Whatever.
By the way, I'd like to say congratulations to everybody on Rules of Engagement because they got extra shows this season.
Because of Charlie's hernia?
Yes, more good comedy from our dear friends at Rules of Engagement.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. All right. Wow. Advice for, with a straight face, apparently, advice for Lindsay Lohan. Okay.
Wait a minute. And by the way, I never just said this before. He said sober is boring earlier.
Yes.
You can attest to the fact that I don't have a boring life, and I've never been drunk or high in my life.
You and Donald Trump's weird. I don't know. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am not going through menopause. Are you sure? You said that with the testy bark of an old biddy.
Shut up. It is Stephanie Miller's show.
The change
boy.
You can believe in.
Jim, did you see my shawl? Someone knitted me, a listener knitted that, because we talked about that a few weeks ago. As Hal was saying, it's hard to be timely with your comedy when you have to knit.
Yeah, eventually you have to knit the punchline.
This would be funny if I could just get it clackety-clackety-clackety.
Trying to whittle together the words timing.
Rocking chair that goes with it.
T-I-M-M-I-N-G. Damn it! I gotta start again.
Speaking of which, Jennifer Aniston says people view you differently after 40.
Yummy.
You know it.
Yeah, I think she's getting better looking.
She says all of a sudden people are making it like sound like life is very shortly coming to an end. It's weird. Just for certain parts of me.
Didn't Demi Moore have her first kid at 53 or something? Wasn't she literally like... Didn't they come out covered in sand or something?
Her eggs were clearly hardier than mine.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well. No wonder I drink. Mayor Bloomberg stuns audience by telling them he puts ice cubes in his beer. Well, you just can't buy taste, can you?
Who does this?
Mayor Bloomberg.
Oh.
He said, I actually put ice in my beer. He was at the Brooklyn Brewery. There was a gasp from the crowd.
Good heavens.
Well, you're at a brewery.
I actually do that sometimes with my Chardonnay. I like it really cold. Sorry. Bloomberg also adds salt to just about everything, including pizza.
Ooh, that's a bad idea.
Oh, my God.
How's your blood pressure?
Oof.
As long as he doesn't put it on watermelon slices. That always creeped me. I grew up in the South, and everybody put salt on watermelon.
Right.
I was like, what are you doing?
No.
Putting salt on fruit. This is weirding me out. Don't get it.
Well, it ain't edible.
And sugary vegetables. That's the funny thing. Sweet sauce on meat and vegetables, salt on... Make up your mind.
I'm not sure, Chris. I have much more reason to live this week. If you could take your organ out for both my eggs and Kenneth Mars, the Hitler worshipping playwright and the producers, has died.
Oh, Kenneth Mars was hilarious. He was also the leader of the riot, the wooden armed.
Right.
He had the malfunctioning artificial arm in Young Frankenstein, which is our favorite.
So
movie
funny
here.
So funny.
Mm. Used to see him
in his honor. Mars. May I just take a moment to say, could you please? Put the candle back.
Listen to me very carefully. Put the candle back.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and gay.
Oh, God, I love the arm. I just love the arm.
All right.
All right.
Nice grouping. He goes and sticks all of them in the wall and runs back over and then flicks his bad arm into his chest.
We cannot get enough of the young Frankenstein here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, it's an ugly thing, and I think it is about time we had one.
Okay.
Oh, Mars, that's sad.
Yeah.
I know it. Lady Gaga says she cannot remember her post-Grammys party because she was drunky Gaga.
Okay.
Yeah, she celebrated her victory with several alcoholic drinks, to which I say,
I have to say,
you can't be a poker face all the time. It's kind of a little fun.
I'm a big fan of her buttiness. She's pretty.
Okay. All right.
But she also, she was dressed like a pastel version of Tina Turner in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. I didn't get it.
I have asked Chris LaVoy to please get my entrance straight the next time. I would like to enter in an egg.
Yes.
Every morning
like
from now on, because we're on Ustream
now. Let's
get
one thing straight, and we'll get along fine.
My egg!
My entrance.
With an egg!
Lights first, then music, then the door, then the carpet. If a mistake is made, someone's head will roll. Would you like to guess whose?
Ooh, forgot the egg this morning.
Wow.
All right, Hal Sparks, I'm just going to guess that you've been to the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, and I actually am going again next month because I'm going to I'm doing the Playboy Golf Charity Golf Tournament, and then and then the next day they have a pajama party. At the
really now? Well, I would be careful because the headline is 170 visitors to Playboy Mansion struck ill, a mysterious sickness.
Chlamydia.
I don't know what it was. Sickened about 170 people attending a global internet conference in Southern California, but it was unclear if a party at the Playboy Mansion played any role in spreading it, according to health officials in charge of
chlamydia.
I don't know what that's. It's a mysterious illness. We don't know.
I'm going to guess it was, if it was stomach related and it was the food there, I almost would. I've never had an issue myself, but then I always confined myself to the chocolate covered.
I got sick there too, but it was because Frank Stallone was hitting on me.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day.
There are some indications that it was Legionnaire's disease from a fog machine that was near the dance floor.
Legionnaire's disease from a fog machine.
Is the Playboy Mansion the only place that still uses fog machines?
Well, apparently from the 1840s, because who has Legionnaire's disease? You know, it's terrible affliction because you get one of those pillbox hats with the drape in the back. Just appears on your head. It's and then you end up surrounding a fort in the
look
desert.
Look at dry ice. It's my magic.
Bogef disease.
Yeah, Bogef's disease.
Who uses a fog machine? What, was somebody performing Knights in White Satin or something?
Yeah, totally. There was a Cream reunion. No comment.
All right.
No. What? Was...
No. Oh, hello.
By the way, final story in Celebrity Stack, and this is not a good thing, no matter what you're thinking in your thought bubble. Uh-huh. O.J. Simpson got beat up in prison.
I'm sorry.
What's in your karmic bubble?
Sorry.
Delisted writing, this is some... Straight out of the best episode of Oz, the National Enquirer saying O.J. Simpson was on the bad end of a good old-fashioned prison yard ass-whooping and is now shaking like a tire on a speeding Bronco. Oh, dear. I'm not clapping for the story. It's just...
Wow. No comment.
He's okay. He's okay.
Just leaving it there.
Okay. Let's go to Mary in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mary.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow, I'm just thrilled. First of all, I want to say that, Stephanie, you are delicious.
Thank you. Thank you.
As somebody who is possibly 20 years your junior, I must say that you are just phenomenally beautiful.
Well, let me just say, as somebody 20 years my junior,
I am not one of your fans.
Go ahead, young and juicy, whatever.
Anyway, but I'm really calling about all of this stuff about the tax cuts, which to me, there needs to be some minds put to this. I mean, you know, you guys have all the verbiage and can think of jargon and all this good stuff. You know, come up with something that's an alternative to tax cuts, because it's not tax cuts. You know, it's kind of like saying, you know, the rich have been getting a free ride and now we want to take that free ride away. I mean, it's the same thing around Social Security, honestly.
How about tax equity? We should all pay our fair share. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, same thing with Social Security, with people saying, you know, well, if you're wealthy, you don't pay in. It's, you know, well, how does that function as something that makes sense? You know, there needs to be some rephrasing around, you know, we're gonna make this equal here.
Yep, I hear you. All right.
Because the writer are really good at that, and we need to be better at
it. Yes, the luncification of their message is always...
Exactly. Like Jeb Hensarling, Republican Texas, says things like this.
You can't spend money you don't have. Massive debts lead to massive tax increases. Mm-hmm. Massive tax increases lead to no jobs.
Ah, so was he pressed to explain why there are no jobs when they have had these tax cuts the whole time?
For
8 years.
And why the rate was actually higher under Clinton and the jobs market was better.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Rob Portman, Republican, Ohio.
The budget offers no hope in terms of the growth of the economy. The pro-growth policies that we need in combination with spending restraint to get our fiscal house in order are not in this budget.
Were they? Maybe you should just resubmit one of the Bush budgets that you seem to like so much.
Yes.
From like, you know, maybe the 94 Bush budget would be really helpful then. You could, you know, use that one.
Lewis
maybe.
In Texas. Hi, Lewis.
Yeah, speaking of Texas, I'm just really concerned that some of these cuts are actually going to end up costing us money. You know, you cut the Legal Services Corporation, for example, and it ends up, you know, people that are getting help there, avoiding evictions, avoiding foreclosures, or getting their food stamps are actually going to cost the taxpayers more.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, we make this point over and over, Lewis, but unemployment insurance, you know, benefits, the most stimulative kind of spending you can do because people clearly spend that right away.
Well, the healthcare law in and of itself is, you know, a big portion of it was, you know, paring down costs over time because we're trying to avoid the drive up of costs. So, yes, it seems to cost more in the day to day, but it actually cheapens what you're actually putting in over time. It's like raising your principal versus your interest on your mortgage.
Right. Mark in Charleston, South Carolina, with some breaking high-speed rail news. This news is traveling at 250 miles an hour. Hello, Mark. Good morning.
Hey, Steph. Good morning. Hi. Yes, Governor Rick Scott this morning rejected $2.4 billion to bring high-speed rail to Florida this morning.
Yay.
Perfect.
Yay.
Perfect.
You didn't need those jobs anyway, buddy.
No.
Any word on when you're going to return the hundreds of millions your company stole from Medicare when you were in charge?
Yeah, he's the crookiest crook that got elected this cycle, isn't he?
I cannot believe this guy. Because Alex Sink like did something with her cell phone funky in the debate, and he complained about that, and I don't know, maybe that tipped it, and he ended up winning because of that.
God we're voting for all the right reasons in America.
I'm just happy that he dumped the funding because maybe by the time all these redneck right wing states start dumping all their funding, California is going to have flying trains.
We're going to have Jetsons.
Yeah, seriously.
Thanks, Wisconsin. Yeah. Thanks.
We'll be
Florida?
Like,
thanks, Texas.
Yeah. We don't need stupid trains. Hey, how come California has all the cool stuff?
Jim Ward will never be late to work again. I just got here in my saucer.
Right.
We'll just be able to beam him up.
Get me off this crazy thing.
Who's parking on my landing pad?
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
That was sexy. Okay, 45. I don't even know what it was. I liked it.
It's a tongue flick. It'll get over.
I thought it was like a what's that? A muskrat.
A motorboat.
I thought you were doing Muskrat Sammy.
Right. We'll motorboat during the break.
All right.
We'll have it on Ustream. It'll be good.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with the waning moments of Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
A muskrat slam to the jitterbug out in muskrat land and they shear me.
Oh boy. Steffi.
Starts to giggle.
I'll leave it in health here.
Like
what the?
I'm doing that. I'm doing that with my lips. 50 minutes after the hour. Huh? How about that, HealthSparks.com? Those were some burps during the break, weren't they?
Did you hear? Yeah. Oh, they're impressive.
Thanks.
I wish we sampled them.
Thanks. Oh, that's a good idea.
Is that the... Oh, man. Oh, God. You know how much...
Maybe that's why she started to shimmy.
Well, yeah.
She's like, I just got to get this one out before he smells it.
When I was a kid, I always thought it sounded like bathtub farts.
Yeah.
Muskrat love. Do you know how much cocaine you have to be on? Do you know how long the songwriting process, much less recording and mastering a song, is? Do you know how many times you have to listen to a song to actually get it done? It's like literally hundreds of times. Like you have to listen to a song 600 times. You know how much cocaine you have to be on to listen to Muskrat Love 600 times without going, this is nuts.
Here's one thing we know for sure, Hal Sparks, and that is no matter how long it takes, you and I are always proven right.
Yes.
Me in particular.
Yes.
Julie from Seattle writes, Staff, you will be happy to know that your offensive remarks about obese Samoan people voting for Hillary, because at one point it was very close between Obama and Hillary, and I thought we might have to measure delegates by weight. Mm-hmm. And Samoans weighed more than Dominican Republic people.
Sure.
So I thought Hillary might.
Yeah.
Because Samoans, she won Samoa.
Yeah.
Dominican Republic?
What?
No
what
less a
about?
Source than the scholarly journal Foreign Policy looked into why those people are so hefty. Why do the world's fattest people live on islands is the story. Last week, a study published in the British medical journal The Lancet, very well regarded, found that worldwide obesity rates have increased significantly over the past three decades. By far, the greatest increase was in the Pacific Islands. The world's fattest country, Nauru, but it is followed very closely by Samoa. Combination of factors, diet, lifestyle, culture, the main culprit of globalization.
There
it's,
you go.
Yeah, it's our Western
cheaper,
lifestyle.
Cheaper, crappier food in mass quantities. Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'm just, I didn't think I was being politically incorrect by saying Samoans tend to be large is all
yes.
I said.
Yes,
it's true. And it's not just the diet. I mean, it's just, they're...
Yes. Yeah. Bob is chuckling warmly about Samoans.
He is.
Hello, Bob in South Beach.
Hi, Mama.
Hello.
Can I be the official legal recruiter of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Please.
It's better than being illegal recruiter.
Yes, I suppose.
That's true. Well, that's a whole other topic. But, you know, I agree with you guys. I think this whole tax situation is just a smokescreen. Mm-hmm. They really need to create jobs, and they're stopping Obama from creating jobs by not letting him do the job that he was put in there to do.
Yep.
You know, creating a new infrastructure, all the things that he talked about, it drives me crazy.
Yeah,
you know,
we were just talking. We were just talking about how much we love the train. I seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying when I lived in Croton on the Hudson, I loved taking the train into New York.
Right, and
I mostly like the conductor actually. Croton, Harmon, Yonkers. This is Yonkers.
That's really good.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, the truth is, it's literally, these are folks that are looking at killing business in their districts and then taking that to a national level.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, I guess.
I think the important thing is I got off actually on the Ossining stop. I thought it was important to mention
you know.
That. Uh-huh. I lived actually in Ossining. Dave in
But you didn't leave the train. Hello.
Hey. Charles and I.
Hey, I got an idea about
And then I exited at Croton Harmon.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just...
Sorry.
All right. Sorry, Charles, you want to talk about high-speed rail as well.
I have an idea for the high-speed rail between St. Paul, where I live, and Chicago, where I used to live.
Right.
They'll do some work. Let's go ahead and take the money back from Governor Wanker. He's already given it back. But
Walker.
Let's also go ahead and build the high-speed rail, but just because we've got rights of way, but don't put any stops in Wisconsin.
Right.
Possibly Madison, but because
he's just the snidely whiplash, isn't he, of Wisconsin?
Totally.
He's just tying Penelope pit stop, which is the poor worker of Wisconsin, onto the train tracks.
Yes.
Hmm. Where is Dudley Do-Right? I ask you. Where?
He's right though. I mean, they literally lay those train tracks and buy some land from Iowa and run it through the corner. You know, just loop it around and avoid Wisconsin entirely.
Dave in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I enjoy your musings about the political back and forth. I think you're spot on about the Republicans. There's only one quibble. Every time you come to Obama's motivations, I think you insist on projecting progressive ideas or progressive motivations that he has not demonstrated his entire presidency.
His entire presidency?
Really?
You're saying he has not demonstrated progressive ideas his entire presidency?
That's right.
Okay, so Don't Ask, Don't Tell is not a progressive... repeal is not a progressive concept. More women on the Supreme Court than ever in its history. Not a progressive.
Lilly Ledbetter Act. Yeah.
Lilly Ledbetter Act. Stimulus.
Why don't you have Robert Scheer or Thomas Franks on your show?
All I'm saying is you said his entire presidency, and it's the lack of mitigation in that conversation you're accusing us of. So I'm saying there's
Dave,
no.
I would say that he has. He always ran as a centrist, so I guess I get confused. To me, he has done everything he said he was going to do when he was running, and I agree that you and I necessarily don't agree with all of it. But this is what he ran on.
At this point, I would settle for principled conservatism, because principled conservatives would have done things to the left of what he's doing.
Yeah,
Like Wall Street to far separate standards than he has.
Yeah.
Okay, we may not have gotten the health care or the financial regulation as tough as we wanted it, but we got it, and that's something that we didn't have at all.
Consumer
so
Protection
isn't that
Agency,
more progressive?
And the Consumer Protection Agency that was put in place, there's not a single conservative that would have that wanted that in existence, much less would vote for it. Secondly, Elizabeth Warren designing it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, there, yeah. like you can't. If you're going to accuse
just wish
me,
we had more Elizabeth Warrens and fewer Jeff Immelts.
Right, I agree. But the fact that if you're going to say his entire presidency and it's all been blah blah blah, then you're just writing off any of your victories, and we sound like a squeaky wheel, and no one takes you seriously.
By the by, speaking of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, just with all the horrible Republican laws that are sprouting up across the country, like
right.
the one that makes it okay to, you know, kill abortion
all the
doctors.
Pro-rape stuff. Yeah, too.
Yeah. This is actually a majority of Maryland state senators have said publicly they will vote to legalize same-sex marriage, greatly increasing the odds. Hmm. The highest-profile social legislation being considered by the General Assembly will pass in the coming weeks. Governor Martin O'Malley has said he will sign the bill. Maryland would join five other states and the district in allowing same-sex marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good news. Oh, and here's other good news for us. Sharon Angle might challenge John Ensign in Nevada.
Huh.
She may not be running a prep for president, but she's thinking about running for the Senate again. She said, I've got many options, in addition to the beauty course that she taught. No kidding.
Hmm.
I'm not ruling out anything. It's unclear how much support Angle would actually guess. A recent survey found a whopping 68%, that's almost 70, Jim, mm-hmm. of Nevada Republicans now say they regret picking Angle to be the party's Senate nominee. Of course, Ensign's approval rating is equally dismal, thanks to fallout from the unpleasantness. 48% of Republicans in the state want to see someone other than Ensign as the party's nominee, except that they're like, oh, not her, but not... No,
right.
Somebody else that's not Sharon Angle, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one else will run the... Yeah. No,
yeah.
It's all crazy people.
Like, that's it for Hump Days with Health Sparks. Wah.
I'll be in Phoenix this Sunday.
Sad
Wild Horse Pass Casino.
And I'll be at there. Brennan's tonight with
and
the
I'll
Bruce
be watching.
Band.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And I'll be here tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. It's the only place
with
I go.
David Bender.